We're going to sing a little bit here this morning, a couple of songs that relate to themes in 1 John. The first song is Your Grace is Enough, and in both in John's Gospel and in the letters that he's written, he's very keen on what Jesus has done for us, for you and for me, in pouring out his grace through Jesus Christ. So that's a celebration of one of the themes. The other is the spirit of the song that we'll sing is Spirit of the Living God. And again, John talks about the Holy Spirit so much in the Gospel of John and even in our texts that we've been going through here in 1 John. He talks about how help us, the Holy Spirit's work within us is to help Christ be formed in us, help us to know things for certain down deep in our very being, and that we are pointed to develop that relationship in full measure as best we can. So let's join together in singing these two things, Your Grace is Enough, and then we'll sing Spirit of the Living God, and that will be our introduction into our quiet time. Again, know that this is a time where we just devote ourselves to God, to listening to the Spirit of God within us. And it's also a time where if what we hear or discern is for the rest of the body, you're certainly welcome to step up to this mic. Thank you.
So Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you that we are called the children of God. That is what we are before you. See your children gathered here today. I pray that you would bless them all. Help us all to hear what you're speaking to us today. Help us as we are enfolded into your care to discern what it is that's best for us and maybe even better. I pray that you would take great delight in your children gathered here this morning. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to continue with me in 1 John, we're going to go take a look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, who are living in verses 1 through 6. We take a look at characteristics of Christ followers who are living in this world. This is the direction that John takes in this passage. And I've titled this, The Dear and Aware Ones. In the first part of the text, he basically calls them dear ones or dear friends. He leads off with that. It's a word that really means beloved. It uses the word agape for this address. In one word, in beloved, which is a term we're not used to, it takes up both the introduction, dear, and addresses the fact that they are greatly loved. So they are dear. And he points his readers to be aware. And we're going to take a look at that awareness. Would you join me then in the reading of God's word as we start in verse 1? Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come to acknowledge Jesus is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So John does use this in two senses. He uses it of a person that shows up sometime in history. And he uses it also of those who are like that person against Christ. They are persons against Christ. And uses it as kind of almost in the sense of this is a spirit of the world. That is, it's a systemic way of looking at who Christ is. They are against Christ. Okay? Well, this is an interesting section that we just read through. This section really refers to John born chapter. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, where John warned against the presence of Antichrist. And in particular, he's pointing to people who had gone out from among them in chapter 2. There were a group of people who'd come in and who tried to impress this group of people with their knowledge. They thought that they were gifted with specialized knowledge. But one of the telling things about this group of people is that they rejected the idea that the Jesus of history was the Christ, the Spirit of Christ. What they believed was that God sent the Spirit in Jesus' baptism and rested upon him and helped him in his ministry through those years. But then when Jesus died, the Spirit of Christ left. So the person Jesus was just simply a person who lived and died, but was full of the Holy Spirit while he lived. And John is speaking to that big problem there. The mixture of Christianity and then what became known as Gnostic ideas. The word Gnostic relates to the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. And other people who thought they really knew it. They thought they knew it and other people did not know it. And they came in and they really, I think they jolted this group of followers of Christ. And then just left them in a lurch, you might say, emotional lurch. Yep, we thought you were part of us and now you're gone. And what you've left us with is dismissiveness and scorn. And that's exactly what John picks up in these earlier chapters when he says they proved that they are not among us or of us because they believe they can do that and not love their brothers and sisters in Christ. Their behavior shows what they really are because they don't love their brothers and sisters of Christ in Christ. And this is something that he keeps talking about all the way through this letter, that if we're in Christ, we are devoted to each other as the children of God. So that's the circumstances there. And the second caution is directed against that, like I mentioned, that spirit of the Antichrist. Now, it's both active and personal, who's called the, like I mentioned, in the person of who's called the Antichrist, who appears in end times. It's active and personal, but it is also a worldview, and against Christ's worldview. So how do you detect such a thing? And he's going to tell us about how we detect that. He tells us that this spirit will deny Jesus is Christ, or the Messiah come to flesh, come to us as flesh and flesh and blood, a human. Now, this group of people had done well. They persevered, even when this big show of people who felt like they knew better than them came, blew through town, blew through their fellowship, and kind of blew on the way out. It also tells us in this section that not only had they overcome that, but that these false prophets were shown that these people, because of their perseverance, belong to God. And John emphasizes the idea that the Holy Spirit within them is greater than false, lying spirit that's pervasive in a world system and in those who had troubled their fellowship in particular. The Spirit of God within them is greater than that. The world may listen to people like this, it says in our text, but the children of God have something better. It's a more sure word from God. These people come in and they've kind of innovated in how they've cooked up a soup of part Christianity and part Greek and Roman thought, but which is based on a person's thinking. But John is saying something different. He's saying, you have someone like me here. I saw him. I touched him. I walked with him. I lived with him. You have an apostolic witness right with you, and this is not the faith that we understood Christ delivered to us, and we have delivered to you. And he says that the belief in the gospel is the true test of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in your life. So that's a little bit first summary of what he does in this text. So let's take a look a little bit. First, you can see what he wants them to do is to become aware, first. Second, to develop their discernment. And then third, to capitalize on the fact that they belong to a group of overcomers. And that there is safety in being in the people of God who are connected to the Spirit of God and to this apostolic witness. So these are the three things that we'll take a look at. You know, we have lots of these warnings, don't we, about scams. I don't know how many, this last week, I think I got 12 calls on my cell phone related to scam. They were just scams, time and time and time again. I just keep blocking the numbers that keep sending them, but they pop up all over New York State or some other place that is sending these out. Now, when we see this, we think, I should be informed. I should really be careful because it's important. It means something to me to get scammed. And John is saying things that he wants us to be aware. All of these things that you get on the news or in certain magazines, which I now get, the AARP, they're telling people about scams so that they can be aware. And this is what John is wanting his readers to be aware of. What you just experienced when these people blew into town was a scam. It was exactly that, and I want you to be aware of it. Dear friends, he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So there's two sides to this sense of awareness. There's a positive side and there's a negative side. The negative side is phrased this way, believe not every spirit. Have you ever been told not to believe? It's a kind of a different thing. He's telling us there are some things we should not believe, right? Believe not every spirit in the world. It's a good thing to not believe certain things. When you develop discernment, then you say, oh no, that's off. That's bent. That's not true, is it? Because you're aware of truth. The second thing is that it's positive. There's some things that you can do. You can test the spirits to see if they're from God. Interesting point here. When he says test the spirits, he's saying you, all you, he's speaking collectively, plural, all you in the body of Christ, you do this. You test the spirits. And he says it in a form that's like a command. It's not just a good idea. This is something you do as you grow in Christ. You do this. You test the spirits to see if they are from God. Now, that's the two sides of this awareness. The purpose for this awareness is to test the spirits to see if they're from God. Is God saying something to me through this person or this group or at this time, or is God not? He wanted his followers, his beloved children in the Lord, to be able to tell that. What they brought in was not of God. What you are is of God. So testing the spirits to see whether they are of God. It really matters, and the need for that awareness to me. I think many false prophets. And this is a great concern to me. I think many times that a person goes off to school, they go off to college, they sit under some person in their major who's quite brilliant and articulate, who has a grasp of their field, and they're drawn in by the winsomeness of that personality. And then pretty soon, I don't know why it is, at least in some academic circles, the way that you get noticed academically is you say something just a little out on the edge. Just a little out on the edge. You push the limits with it. And pretty soon you have something that is very, very different. And for the young person sitting there in the classroom, oh, I've never thought about that before. And a seed is planted. Now, if you're not going to class trying to be aware or testing the spirits of what someone is saying, then it's very easy to just be drawn into that whole thing. It's very easy, especially, I'm concerned about this in our theological training as well. Because some people go on record saying, well, look, while you're here, we're going to help you deconstruct your faith and so you can build your own. And I just shudder whenever I hear that. The first thing that concerns me is this deconstructing. Do you have to deconstruct what you have to be able to own your faith? I don't think you need to do that. One of the things I've been so grateful for in my own life is that I've been with professors that have a great understanding of what Scripture says, and they also know well what is in the world. And they helped me understand how my faith speaks to my world and speaks to error in the world. So I'm grateful for that. But that concerns me, especially in this area, in this day, the need for that is very, very important, because no longer are people content to not just say the thing that will get them noticed or react. But if someone disagrees with them, we're in a world today that is so hyper-reactive, they will just nail the student who raises the question to the wall. They're very active about and passionate. Now, that's a worldview, and that's probably the kind of worldview that the people who'd come into this fellowship had. They did fine as long as people swallowed it or didn't question them. But when there was no longer buy-in for their ideas, they just left with a great deal of criticism, left them in a lurch. And that is, I think, the spirit of what was going on here, and is sometimes the spirit of what's going on in our world. So let's take a look now at another idea, discerning. We are meant to be discerning, first to be aware of what's going on, and second to be discerning. He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Now, when he uses that, the Spirit of God, he's talking about what the Spirit's up to, but he's also talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when it's in people. This is how you can recognize whether or not the Holy Spirit is there in a person. And what you do first is I love this little thing. How do I become better at discerning? Because sometimes I feel like I'm not so discerning, but he answers the question right here. First, note people's declarations. What do they declare? What's their creed? Well, I mentioned to you the idea that that sometimes people, professors, will get out on the edge to get heard. And when they say something that's firm and become critical of the student who asks a question, you're hearing their creed. That is their creed. That's why they react. They have as much a creed as you or I do as followers of Christ. It's every bit a creed. It's what's believed in their hearts. So you first note their declaration, what they declare, what they believe, their creed. Take note of that. We can do that by looking at how they see Jesus. One example of this, a very popular speaker today, when it comes to the atonement of what Jesus did for you and me, basically says that Jesus is just a great example of the love of God for us. And it's got a nugget of truth to it. What Jesus did for us is a great example of the love of God. But his view of what Jesus did stops there. He didn't die and didn't need to die for our sins. That's an interesting departure from Orthodox Christianity. That's a departure from what John tells us as one of the apostles. It departs from it and goes on to just take one thing that's true in Scripture and make it everything. The truth is the atonement of Jesus Christ is so rich and it's so full out for you and for me. We'll spend a lifetime trying to figure it all out. And every time we look at it, each facet of it, we in fresh and new ways appreciate what he's done. But note first their declarations. It's very important to do that. Then, so he says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. This is what we celebrate. Every spirit that declares or acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Remember, they couldn't accept this idea that the person Jesus and the Christ were the same thing. Jesus was the human's name, that Christ or Messiah was his ministry and office and his calling from God. He is the sent one from God the Father. That's how we tell. What did they make of this Jesus? I think it's important to celebrate that. So how about if we just sing a song and celebrate who Jesus is with us today? Let's sing Jesus Messiah.
Carried the cross.
Isn't it amazing the number of themes that were developed even just in that song about who Jesus is, and what rich things he's done for us? It's just remarkable what he's done for us. So this is the idea. We're taking a look at some of the declarations that the persons make, trying to figure out what their view of Jesus is, determining the source of their views as well. But every spirit, he says, that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. It helps us understand where things come from. If there's that absolute and hard rejection of the fact that Jesus came to us as a human being sent and from God and God himself, who lived and suffered and died on our behalf and rose again, then you can tell this is not from the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, you, and from his appeal to you and me, he makes the case for Christ, for you and for me, in our inner being. These people, John is saying, you've heard from him. You got it. You listened, and you've heard and are in him now because of that. So determining the source of their views, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. And a third thing that we could do is compare their creed. Remember, everybody has a creed. Creed is something you live by, something you believe. It's what turns belief into action in certain ways that you act and I act. We have a creed, but you compare their creed to that of the apostles. And these were the people who were told in Scripture by Paul that God worked in ways, in a profound way, where the Spirit of God inspired the people who were there and witnesses to write basically what we have in the New Testament scriptures. But here are these witnesses of people who the reality walked with Christ and experienced Christ, and they give witness to the reality of who Jesus is. I always find it interesting that the professor this many centuries distant from the actual events feels like they have a better handle on it than an eyewitness. It always gets to me. You know, someone who stood there, who walked and talked with Christ and bears this witness. Compare their creed to the apostles' inspired and firsthand contact. Notice in verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Who is the we? Well, it includes John. And I think John includes all the apostles that he walked with and taught with, and all those who were witnesses to him and to his resurrection, and who speak freely and sometimes under duress, but speak openly about who Jesus is. And I think it must include his readers as well. We are from God. We are from God. And he's kind of, what would you say, putting distance between himself and these so-called better-knowing ones who've come in and left, and saying, we are from God. We know this. And whoever knows God listens to us because they've responded to the message. But whoever is not of God does not listen to us. And that was characteristic of the people who had left. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So in a way, he's saying, you could check your sources. Come on, talk to me. I'm one of your sources. I'm one of your primary sources for building your faith. And today we have that sourcing Much of it written down in the New Testament, a very wide group of sourcing. So here again, rather than conjecture, which these troubling persons brought, it's tied to actual events, to reality, to the person of Christ and people who walked with him. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. So this is how we develop discernment. A third says, you, dear children, this text is belonging. And in verse 4, it says, you, dear children, are from God. You see that? You are from God. He knows they are. They responded to the message of who Jesus was, and they're faithful proclaiming it to them. You, dear children, are from God, and you've overcome them. That is, they didn't fall for their scam. You've overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This is the group that we belong to. Our new identity is that we are children who are from God. That's our new identity. And our victory is that we have overcome the world, that is, this world system that rejects Christ, that is against Christ. So they've overcome the world in that sense. And thirdly, our source of victory is the Spirit. He says, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that really makes a big difference in how he brings things to the true spirit of ministry is to show us all truth and to show us the truth that Jesus taught. And Jesus actually promised us as followers of Christ that this is what the Holy Spirit is committed to doing, showing you and me Jesus' truth. And that's the one who is within us. So who we are as overcomers. We are overcomers of this world system as we begin to be remade into the image of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is within us, showing us the way. And then he flips this a little bit, and he says, and who we're not. We are not false prophets. Their character is that they are from the world. And he could see, as he looked at what was going on in their world, how, like I said, it's kind of a stew, a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and you mix it all up together. And you have something that's very interesting for the world to look at. Everybody likes a new thing, don't they? New ideas. And so it's very likely that these people got quite a hearing. They were influential enough that it troubled this small group, and it even troubled the Apostle John. They were influential, and they were effective. Effective. At least it seems to me that they were effective. As they spoke, their speech was of the world. Now, when I hear that, it's someone has learned what the world likes to hear, and they say that, and they package it so that their hearing gets larger and larger and larger. That's their speech. It's of the world. It's designed to get a response. And it says the response or the result is that the world hears them, actually listens. But fear not. We are overcomers, he says. We are overcomers. We are the children of God. In this day, one of the things that concerns me is this great antagonism that's in our culture. There are times when I feel like it does affect, it's affecting people, and it's seen in an antagonism toward church, toward those who are wholly devoted to Christ. And and from where people take a turn away from that faith that John delivered to these people, or that the apostles delivered, or that we find in the New Testament, or is true of Jesus, it's part of the gospel. When they take this turn, they remain sometimes in religious settings. And become destructive to the faith of some. Well, this concerns me. From I'm going to use the term when it comes to religious belief from the liberal left. I have concerns when it comes from the conservative right as well. All my life, I've considered myself a conservative, probably leaning right. But there are times today, in our culture today, that I'm very concerned about what's happening over here. Because there are some who think that because I wear this, in trying to be careful and serve my people well, government, that I am now worshiping another god called the government. This is the conservative right position that's going off. And that concerns me because it defies one theme we've heard in 1 John. All through these chapters, the person that's from God loves his brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't denounce them, doesn't decry them. He doesn't blister them with that kind of talk. He loves. He stays and loves. To me, this text does speak to where we're living today in powerful ways. We're meant to be together in unity, Christ followers. We're meant to encourage each other. And boy, how do we need encouragement in these days? It's difficult. Rather than criticism, we need unity. I don't know what this world is, the direction that it's going. Our ministry, as it's been done, here we are having church in a way that, who would have thought, you know, even a year ago that we would be having church this way. We're having to rethink, to retool, to serve some. We invite them, our fellowship, the rest of our fellowship who can't be with us today to listen in, and again, do know, dear ones, we are continuing to think of you and love you and pray for you. What we need more of is this love theme that John talks about, that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we esteem each other highly and walk with each other through this difficult time, and that we be discerning people, that we be aware of what's going on around us, be aware enough to be able to shake it down for what it is. One of the things that these people did was that they remained. They didn't get so shaken by what they heard and saw in their culture or in the words of the people who came in and stayed together, that they shelled out. They stayed together. That's what I mean about belonging with overcomers. You are God's overcomers, and we belong to each other. So we don't need to worry. We don't need to fret. We just encourage each other. With that thought, I'd like to, after a prayer, have you sing with me the song, "You Are My All in All." Jesus is our center, folks. Jesus is why we're here. He's done something wonderful for you and me. And so let's celebrate that as well. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us great discernment. There are times when this confusing world, which got really confusing this year, bumps us and it can cause us to stagger and stumble. We pray that as our Father, that you would hold us steady, that you would help us to be in this time something we could never imagine being as a group of your people, down rather than feeling squelched and hindered and shut down. Would you help us expand how we are with others and what we might do to honor you in this world, but to befriend the people who are deeply troubled and need you desperately. Be at work in our hearts to help us know error from truth, to follow passionately in the truth, and to offer it generously. We ask this in your name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close?
Thank you.
Lord bless you as you go, dear ones.